Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
He is good to us, isn't he? He's made us exceedingly great and precious promises. And then he guaranteed these promises to us through what we're learning about in this series on the blood covenant. The blood covenant. What is a blood covenant? In review, it is when two parties come together to make an unbreakable agreement. They vow with their lives to keep their promises. We're actually in covenant with God through Jesus Christ. It's actually God and Jesus that entered into covenant with each other. But Jesus, he was 100% God and 100% man. So he can represent both God and man. He was 100% human. He was tempted at all points, just like us. Well, the Bible says God can't be tempted by evil. He can't be tempted by anything. But yet we know that Jesus is God come in the flesh. So he was 100% God, 100% man, and he had God's blood through the Holy Spirit and the blood of man through Mary flowing through his veins. So his blood was God's blood and man's blood, human blood, mingled together. So when Jesus went to the cross and gave his life and shed his blood and made this covenant between him and God, God's blood and human blood, man's blood, was being shed on that day. And then when Jesus hung on the cross, you remember he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." What spirit? My spirit. So Jesus gave his spirit to the Father. And then the Father, through Jesus or in Jesus' name, pours out the Holy Spirit upon us. So remember, we were in Christ, and we're in Christ, of course, but we were in Christ when he was crucified. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "I've been crucified with Christ." And when we're water baptized, it symbolizes how we died with Christ, we were buried with Christ, and we were raised with Christ. So when we see Christ, Jesus, doing all that he did for us, we understand that we were in him when he did all those things. So that's how you and I entered into covenant with God. It's through being in Jesus or identifying with Jesus Christ. We are one with him. So Jesus gave up his spirit. God pours out his spirit. We were with Jesus. We gave up our old life. We died to our old sinful ways. Our old man has been crucified with Christ, the old sinful spirit. We've given that up. We've given that up. And now we've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the gift that is exchanged in the blood covenant. The gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out now on you and I. And then both God and man's blood were poured out on the cross. So there's the incision, the blood running out. We see that. Again, the two parties have the blood being dripped into the wine. Of course, Jesus gives us the communion where he took the wine and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant." So we see the communion there. And then, of course, the tree that is planted as a memorial is the cross. Jesus hung on a tree for us. So we have that memorial tree or that tree of the covenant. We have that. And then the old covenant, we see all these curses being pronounced when the people of God entered into covenant with God. Well, we come over to the New Testament, and Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So all these terrible curses are pronounced when you enter into covenant, But Jesus, he goes one step further. He goes ahead and he becomes all these curses for every one of us that have at one time broken our covenant with God. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus went that much further. Yes, the curses are pronounced. If you break a blood covenant, all these terrible curses will come on you. Yeah, that's true. But this new covenant is superior to them all, in that Christ became all those curses. He doesn't just do away with the curses. He became those curses, paid for those curses, so that if we were to miss it and live in a way that gets us outside our covenant with God, we can quickly repent and not only receive forgiveness and be restored to God, restored to our covenant, but we can go through life without fearing the curses coming on us for having broken it, because Jesus became the curse for us. That's why our New Testament, our new covenant, is superior to the old covenant or any other covenant. You see that over here in Hebrews. Why don't you go with me to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. It says, by so much more, Jesus has become a surety or a guarantee of a better covenant. Everybody say better covenant. And then it begins to talk about the priesthood and how he has an unchangeable priesthood. He's our high priest today. And he's a priest forever for you and I. But notice that Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Notice here in chapter 8 and in verse 6, it says, but now he, talking about Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Now, there is a lot in that right there. Because remember, Old Testament, New Testament is really Old Covenant, New Covenant. So we go back to the Old Covenant, and we see God delivering his covenant people. We see God protecting his covenant people. We see God committed to healing his covenant people. Whenever they got sick, whenever they had any kind of physical problems, they cried out to the Lord and they were immediately healed by God. Why? Because of their covenant with God. Their covenant promised them deliverance. It promised them healing. It promised them protection from all their enemies. I mean, think about it. They would go in. Well, first of all, Egypt. We see how they came out of Egypt totally unscratched. And they came out with silver and gold, the Bible says, having plundered the Egyptians. So these people that had been in slavery for centuries, people that were broken down, beaten, abused people, the Bible says they came out, there wasn't one feeble one among them. Now, it wasn't because they were hanging out at Pharaoh's gym and they were eating the best of the land. They weren't. These were slaves. These people were poorly nourished, beaten down, abused people for those centuries in Egypt. But when they came out, not one was feeble among all their tribes, the Bible says. That means even the elderly had their strength renewed. Why? Well, you remember they had killed the Passover lamb and poured out the blood, and they were renewing their covenant with God, a covenant that God had made with their forefather, Abraham. And so man, after having the Passover lamb and the blood being shed, they were immediately protected from the death angel. Everybody was healed, and even the feeble were strengthened. And they came out of there having plundered the Egyptians with silver and gold. They were prosperous. They were blessed. We're talking about the old covenant. I said, we're talking about the old covenant. He preserved, they whined and complained for 40 years in the wilderness, and he still worked with them. And then finally, a group rose up in faith, determined to keep the covenant. And they went into that promised land, and I mean, nobody could stand against them. As long as they were faithful to the covenant, they were in faith concerning their covenant with Jehovah, with God Almighty, I mean, it didn't matter who they were up against, those people were wiped out. I mean, there were nations that rallied together that had chariots of iron and, I mean, trained warriors came out against them, and they're out there with their picks and their whatever, their homemade stuff, and they wiped out all these nations, dispossessed them out of those lands, and took possession of their houses, and all their prosperity. Took possession of it all, just kept prospering and increasing, and just kept taking territory. Why? Because they were in covenant with God. They were in covenant with God. You remember when David went out before he was king, he was a young boy, and he sees Goliath out there. And Goliath is cursing Israel's God and defying, you know, the armies of God there, the armies of Israel, defying them. And David comes out and he says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who defies the armies of the Lord?" Now, it's key what he said. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? See, the circumcision was a sign of the covenant the children of Israel had with God. God made a covenant through circumcision with Abraham. So David came out and he says, "Who is this guy who has no covenant with God standing up here defying us? A people who are in covenant with God. We got a blood covenant with God. This guy's got no covenant with God. Let me have him." See, David's faith was not in his skill to be able to hurl stones. David, his faith was in the blood covenant. He was a covenant-keeping man. He understood the power of covenant, and that's what he had his faith in. And it was faith in that covenant that caused him to say, "Who can stand against me? Who can stand against us? I don't care how big he is. I don't care how powerful he is. I don't care how many of them there are. It don't matter. If I'm in covenant with God and they're not, they're done. Because God is with me. He's not with them." And God, through covenant, has vowed, has promised to back me up, to protect me. No matter what kind of situation I get in, I got God's protection. I got God's strength. I got God's help. God is with me. God has to make sure he uses all the resources he has to keep me from death, keep me from harm. He understood that. And that's why he charged in there and, you know, defeated Goliath and then went ahead and just went on and just attacked the rest of the Philistine army. And the rest of the children of Israel jumped in on it and jumped in into the fight and went and they defeated all their enemies. But it was because of the covenant. See, we got to have faith. Now, that's the old covenant. This is all under the old covenant. We've got a better covenant through Jesus Christ. Now, what does better mean? Better means you get everything that's in the old and more. See, better would not be, "Well, now under the new covenant, healing's passed away. Now he healed back here, but he don't heal today. Well, he protected like that back then, but he don't protect like that today." That don't sound better to me. Sounds like we better go back there. I need some healing, praise God. I need some guarantee to some protection. Come on, somebody. Have anybody dealt with some Goliaths? Yeah, demon-like Goliaths come against you, determined to defeat you. Thank God. God is for us. We're in covenant with him. He's with us. We need that today, just as much as they needed it back then. No, better would not be less. Better would mean that plus more. Right? I mean, if I walked up to you and you had $10 and I had $5, and I said, "Here, give me your $10 and I'll give you $5. Did you get something better? No, you didn't get anything better. But if you had $5 and I had $10 and I said, here, give me your five, I'll give you 10. Then did you get something better? Yeah, what did you get? Well, you got your five and five more. Because that's what the $10 is, right? Five and five more. So you doubled, you got more. We got a better covenant, better promises. Praise God. They had the promise, hey, keep the covenant, and all these blessings will come on you, and these curses won't come on you. Break the covenant, blessings won't come, and all these curses will come on you. Well, that's fair. But the new covenant says, keep the covenant, all these blessings come on you, break the covenant, cry out to the Lord, he's redeemed you from the curses. He took the curses for you. No curses can come on me. Isn't that nice to go through life and know no curses can come on me? There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No guilt, no sense of inferiority. And we know for sure that God is with us. And we just go through the New Testament, all these great promises. We don't have just God with us, we got God in us now. God isn't just on the king and the priest and the prophet. God is on all who believe now. Now we all can be anointed with the Spirit of God. We can all have God on us like kings and priests unto our God. Come on, somebody. You don't have to go to some place called the tabernacle and go through a mediator, and hopefully, you can get there and get to the priest and he'll accept your sacrifice and all these things. No, thank God, we don't have to go there. Our bodies have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy of Holies is on the inside of us. God's made his home in us, glory be to God. And we don't have to bring any more blood sacrifices. Jesus' blood was sufficient for all of us, for all time to come. He paid the price. His blood was sufficient. Praise God. So we've been redeemed, we become one spirit with God. I mean, there's so many things here. We've got a much better covenant. So if you're in the Old Testament, you see anything good and exciting, hallelujah, get more excited. Because you're under the new covenant. Somebody say, I got a new covenant. Hallelujah. And there were different reasons why people would enter into covenant. And people do enter into covenant today. One is for protection. In Native Africa, for example, one tribe that would maybe be weaker would cut covenant with a stronger tribe so that they would be protected, preserved. Of course, that stronger tribe would never turn on them and hurt them if they're in blood covenant with each other, but would be committed to protecting them from other people, other enemies that would try to come against them. Another reason why people would cut covenant is for business purposes, partners to ensure that neither would take advantage of each other, would cut covenant with each other. When you enter into a blood covenant, you know that your partner's not going to steal money, not going to take advantage of you. That's a powerful thing, to have that kind of confidence, Nobody would dare do such a thing. And a third reason is for love's sake, to be covenant friends. People would cut covenant with each other for love's sake because they love each other. And really, you could see that anybody that cuts a covenant, you could see that there's a deep love for one another. They become so committed to each other. They would die to help and protect the other. I mean, that's love, isn't it? Jesus said, no greater life than this, than a man laid down his life for his friend. And so when we're talking about friendships in the Word of God, we're talking about people that lay their life down for one another. We're not talking about casual little friendships here. We're talking about a deep love. And again, love isn't something you fall into. I love all these people that talk about, they fell in love or I fell out of love. I guess if you fell in it, you could fall out of it. Right? It's like it's the big slip. I fell in it. No, this is a decision. True love is something you decide to do. And then once you make the decision, you are committed to it to death. Committed to it to death. Committed to it for the rest of your life. You'd rather die than break that covenant. Now, that's love. That's the kind of love God has for us. Right? Because he came in the person of Jesus and laid down his life for us. So we got a covenant of love with God. In fact, going back to those curses in Deuteronomy, if you go with me, Deuteronomy chapter 11. Here is where God is talking to the people about the curses, the blessings and the curses of the covenant. Verse 1, it says, therefore you shall, you shall love. See, this is a covenant of love. Why did God make a covenant with mankind? For one reason, because of love. Because God so loved the world. God wants to be friends with you. And we're not talking about it again. You know, friend can sound so frilly, so light, because of how we've been so trained in our society. But we got to get our minds renewed. And we have to understand. When God talks about friends, he's talking about blood covenant friends. And so here he says, therefore, you shall love the Lord your God. That's how you keep in covenant with him. That's your end of the covenant. God loves you, and you love God. Now we know God's love is never going to change. He is a God of love, and he is in covenant to love you deeply, to love you with everything he is and everything he has. So you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. Let's go down to verse 13. And it shall be that if you diligently obey my command, which I command you today, to love. That's the command. To love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I'll give you, and he starts declaring blessings, I'll give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will send grass in your field for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart, and let's just jump down here to verse 22. For if you carefully keep all these commandments which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him. See, that's love. You're clinging to him, committed to love him. Then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourselves. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. From the wilderness of Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the western sea shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all the land where you tread, just as he said to you. This is an old covenant. We got a new covenant, which is the old plus. Verse 26, behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. What's the commands? To love. Shout it out. To love the Lord your God. That's the command. That's the requirement. Love him. Love him with your life. Love him with all that you are and all that you have. Be willing to lay it all down for him, out of love for him. So he says in verse 27, the blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods which you have not known. He's talking about loving other gods. You know, you can love other gods by yielding to the devil. He's called the god of this world. Demons are the gods of this world. According to 2 Corinthians 5:5. Demon gods. Well, whenever you yield to the devil, fear the devil, obey the devil's promptings, you're loving him more than God. You're loving other gods. That's breaking the commandment. Has anybody ever done that before? You don't have to raise your hand. We already know. But thank God Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. So we can just brush ourselves off and just pick up and go right back to loving God if we've missed it. Verse 29, and it shall be when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you go to possess, that you shall put the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side of the Jordan towards the setting sun in the land of the Canaanites who dwell in the plain opposite Gilgal beside the terebinth trees of Moreh? For you will cross over the Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and you will possess it and dwell in it. So notice, he says, when you go into that land, he says, I want you to set up monuments on these two different mountains, one representing the blessing, the other representing the curse. And if, in fact, when they entered into the land, that's exactly what they did. Different ones stood on one side. Different tribes of Israel stood on the other side, priests down the middle, declaring the blessing and the curses. So these people, this is something that they were to fear and respect. And of course, we see it. Whenever Israel broke covenant with God, those curses came. All those terrible curses came. You go to Deuteronomy 28, and it lists all these terrible, terrible curses. And I remember one day I was seeing a documentary on what Germany did with the Jewish people, the persecution that took place there. Oh, it was horrific. You know, you couldn't watch the whole thing. I don't know how people sit and watch the whole thing. I mean, you see footage of how the people are being starved to death and their bones just heaped up in piles out in the street. You know, that's actually in the Word of God. Actually talks about that. That your bodies will be left unburied and will be put in heaps out in the street. God warned them. He said, this is the curse. It's a horrible curse. This is what's going to come. And I remember I saw this documentary. I see in that footage. I'm like, God, man, how could this be? You know, almost could put fear in you that something like that could happen. And God immediately reminded me. He said, it's the curse of the law. I was like, thank God I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. I mean, it brought such peace. You know, you watch stuff like that, it put fear in you. Because if it's happened before, it could happen again, you know, to God's people. But oh, thank God for his new covenant people. We got a better covenant. We've been redeemed from that curse. But that's what it was. It's the curse. It's the curse of the law. He said it would come. The children of Israel understood it. They heard it. God warned them time and time again. But when they repented, boy, the blessings. And what blessings? They became so rich, so wealthy, so powerful. And this nation, when this nation turned to God and said, we're one nation under God. And Jesus Christ is Lord of America. Because that's the kind of things our forefathers declared. And they put it in writing and they put it everywhere. And so by doing that, they brought this land into this covenant that God has given us through Jesus Christ. And so they expected covenant blessing, covenant protection. And look what's happened to America. You know how prosperous and how powerful of a nation we have become. But we got to hang on to that covenant. We don't want to stop breaking that covenant. Get away from that covenant. Because that covenant is what makes the way for God to be able to move in our midst, in our lives. And people know you were all at one time enemies with God. If two tribes or two people were complete enemies with each other, if they entered into covenant with each other, they became best of friends. They were committed to loving each other to the end. The blood of the blood covenant had bonded them together. And it didn't matter what differences they had. It didn't matter what kind of past hurts and all that kind of mess was in their lives. All that was wiped away. Now they were, through the blood covenant, committed to death, to loving, preserving, protecting, and helping one another. And we see it's the same thing with us and God. Notice what it says over here in Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 verse 9. It says, much more then. Everybody say much more. Well, I like that already, don't you? See a better covenant, much more. Our covenant is much more than having now been justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. See, because we have a blood covenant, we know we're safe from all wrath, from all judgment. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So we can all rejoice over what God did for us through Jesus, through his blood. Though we were enemies, now, praise God, we've been reconciled, brought back to God, brought into right standing with him, made friends of God. From enemies to friends. God did that. That's something worth rejoicing about. But then he says, we don't just rejoice in what God did, but now he says, we rejoice through whom now we have received this reconciliation. We rejoice in what God did, but praise God, we also rejoice, bless God, because we got in faith about it, and we've received it, and we do receive it. Hallelujah. It's not enough that God just did it. We got to receive it. We got to receive what he did. So we were enemies, but now we're the best of friends. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. God don't see us as old sinners saved by grace. He sees us as new creations in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. All things are now new. For you and God. Notice over here in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. It says, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles, heathen, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. What's that talking about there? It's talking about the Jewish people had a covenant with God, a covenant of circumcision. So they would look upon you and say, well, you're uncircumcised. You're the Gentiles. In other words, you don't have a covenant with God. And you were looked down upon. He said, verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise. What's this covenant of promise? That's the old covenant. The old covenant, the covenant of circumcision. You were strangers, or we could say enemies. You were outside that covenant. That's who you were. But he goes on, he says, having no hope and without God in the world. See, without a covenant, you got no hope. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Or we can say by the blood covenant, because that's what it's talking about there. You've been brought near by the blood covenant. You are far off, you are strangers, you are enemies, separated from the covenant of promise, Now, praise God, you've been brought near through this new covenant, this new blood covenant, the blood covenant of Jesus Christ. And now, glory be to God, we got not only those promises, but we got even better promises. Hallelujah. Yeah, somebody walks up to you, hands you the title to the car. You got to go, woohoo, yes. Somebody walk up and say, I'm going to give you my home. And they turn all the papers over to you and they sign the papers. They give you your home. You wouldn't just look at me like a frog on a log getting ready to croak. No, you'd use those legs and start hopping around, praise God. Woohoo, you'd look like a frog. It's ready to hop, skip and jump. Can you say amen? Glory be to God, folks. I'm telling you, the papers are signed in red. You got a covenant with God. Hallelujah. You got promises. It's yours now. It's all that's his is mine. Don't mess with me. Colossians chapter 1. Ooh, thank you, Lord Jesus. And I can't believe we're running out of time here. I'm just getting warmed up. I'm just getting going. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, in Jesus, all the fullness should dwell. And by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. You know, there's some churches that they want to make people so happy and don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable that they won't say anything about the blood. Friend, that's demonic. It's the devil who fears talking about the blood. He's the one that doesn't want people to know about the blood. They take blood out of all their songs. You know, there's a lot of songs we sing. Oh, the blood of Jesus. They don't sing those songs. Anything to do with the blood, they take those out. In fact, I heard one song one time, and in there it talks about the blood like a fountain, you know, washing away our sins. It's a part of it. And the woman that sang it, she changed it to the grace like a fountain. Grace like a fountain, because that after all, blood is, that makes people feel uncomfortable. Well, if you got demons, it'll make you feel uncomfortable. I know that. But that's okay. Let's get the devil out. I mean, the whole Bible's about blood. How can you take the blood out? You don't even know who you are and what you have. You don't even know what this is. You don't even know what the Bible is. When you say, we're not going to talk about, don't mention blood. Makes people feel uncomfortable. And throw out your Bible. You don't even see, so much of the church has no idea what it's really all about. It's all about a blood covenant that we have with God through Jesus Christ. So, he says, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Well, the blood covenant, verse 21. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Remember, you are in Jesus. When Jesus hung on that cross, he who knew no sin became sin. He became everything we were. That was us on the cross with him. We became sin. And what did he do? He gave what he was, or we gave what we were. We gave what we were and all we had, which is sinfulness. He gave all that on the cross. And then God turned around and gave all that he is and all that he has, which is righteous, holy, blameless, spotless, perfect. God gave us his perfection when we gave in Christ our sinfulness to God. That exchange was made. That covenant was made, praise God. And now we are everything the Bible says we are right here. That we now stand holy and blameless above reproach in His sight. We are far above reproach. Again, far above accusations. Far above condemnation. We are right. As right as God Himself is right. His righteousness is our righteousness. His righteousness is your righteousness. Man, that'll just wipe out any sense of inferiority or whininess about you when you go to God in prayer. You go to talk to God in prayer, and I know I'm just, you know, and you feel so unworthy, and oh, thank God I'm worthy. He made me worthy. He made me worthy. He gave me His worthiness. He gave me His holiness. He gave me His righteousness. He gave me His goodness. Praise God, now I'm blameless. Hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Lord Jesus. It's because of His love for us, God made a covenant with us. It's because of His love for us. He has given us His life. He is committed to us. Now all we got to do is get in faith about it and love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. And that means when temptations come, we make the right decision. We make the decision not to love ourselves and love our flesh and love this world and the rulers of this world, those demon gods, but we make the decision to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we turn away from that mess and we say, no, I'm going to give my love and affections, my devotion to God. I'm going to follow Him. And as you do, praise God, all that He is, all that He has, flows into your life, through your life, and will prosper you, lift you up, raise you up, take you higher and higher and higher and higher. It don't matter how low you feel today, praise God. Get in faith about your covenant with God and let God redeem your life from destruction. Let Him turn your situation around. Let Him bring you into higher ground. Let Him cause you to walk on the high hills of the earth. Hallelujah. Let Him do it. God wants to do it. He's committed to doing it. He said, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive it. You'll have it. God cannot hold anything back from you. He would break His covenant. If God did not forgive you, He would be violating His covenant. That's why He said over in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 9. He said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What do you mean He's faithful and just? What, faithful to what? Faithful and just. What does being just have to do with Him forgiving us? You mean God would be unjust to not forgive us? How could that be? Because of the covenant. It would be unjust for God to not forgive you. It would be covenant unfaithfulness for God not to forgive you. That's why He says He is faithful and just to forgive you. He's faithful and just to the covenant that He made with us in Christ at Calvary. He's not unjust to forget your labor of love which you have shown towards the saints in that you minister and do minister to them. He's not unjust. See, He cannot forget these things because He is in covenant with us. He has to remember these things. That's why the psalmist said, prophetically speaking of Jesus, he said, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. See, He has the marks of the covenant. He's got the scars. He's got the wounds. He's got it all before him all the time to remember his covenant with you. So if any devil or anybody tries to come up to you and tells you, well, you're unworthy, you need to remind them of the covenant. Well, because you did this and you did that, you're not worthy. Well, let me remind you of the new covenant. Let me talk about my blood covenant with Jesus, with God through Jesus Christ. I am worthy. Because of that covenant makes me worthy. Why can I come to God and know that when I pray, I get what I ask for? Because I'm in covenant with him, not because I'm a great guy. It's because I'm in covenant with him. Because of a covenant, the devil can't mess with me. You'd never be afraid of the devil. You see, who is this uncircumcised demon? This demon has no covenant with God. Are you kidding me? What is a devil without a covenant? Nothing. Nothing. We are in covenant with God. You're no longer enemies, you're friends. Now you might as well just act like it. Now just get up and walk with them. Praise God. Take God by the hand. You don't have to earn a thing. You couldn't earn a thing anyway. Thank God through the blood covenant that Jesus did for us and we did in Jesus. Now, praise God, we can hold God's hand and walk as partners in life. Friends to the end. Whatever we ask, we got his protection, we got his blessing all over us. And the blessing of the Lord makes us rich. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm a blood covenant Christian. That's who you are, praise God. Stand on your feet. Let's thank the Lord for that this morning.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.